join me for the best mix of music every Saturday on Lake District Radio, the Dennis Devlin Show, from 2 p.m. to 5 p.m. We interview some of the best new up-and-coming talent across the country, and we play three brand new singles every hour on air, as well as the usual mix of music from across the decades. That's the Dennis Devlin Show on Lake District Radio, the best mix of music.
Was I really the one you wanted to hold? Or something in your hands for you to mold? If I stay like clay, if I stay like clay, one more day like clay, you can never hurt me again. There's no tears like a door left unopened. No more feelings left to keep me in the game. Loss is understood but unspoken. Nothing comes from bitterness and pain. Now the memories are gone and life starts again. Knowing without change there'll be no end. If I stay like clay, if I stay like clay, one more day like clay, you can never hurt me again. Stay like clay, one more day like clay. I would never feel this way, but to grow like clay, hard and cold like clay, gray and old like clay. I will never feel love again.
Listening to the Dennis Devlin Show on Lake District Radio, playing all the best mix of music.
Crash and burn. brave the silence and await my turn. For the moment I can set you free. And give to you a memory of how it used to be. Any flavor from the ice cream van, walking beaches in the Isle of Man, we'll leave our footprints in the sand and look out to the sea. Pop the car inside the parking lot, make a journey to your favorite spot. Just you and me, like it used to be, locked hand in hand on a blanket, sat beside the sea. And you hold your head. Watch the TV and I watch you stare. Look for comfort but there's nothing there. Any flavor from the ice cream van, walking beaches in the Isle of Man, we'll leave our footprints in the sand and look out to the sea. Park the car inside the parking lot, make a journey to your favorite spot. Just you and me, like it used to be, locked hand in hand on a blanket, sat beside the sea. Help me understand, baby, what you're looking for. Once upon a time, I was all you ever needed. Just a chance of holding hands. Let me know I'm still the man to keep you safe and warm, free from home. Hold you close on a blanket, sat beside the sea.
Join me for the best mix of music every Saturday on Lake District Radio, the Dennis Devlin Show, from 2 p.m. to 5 p.m.
We interview some of the best new up-and-coming talent across the country.
And we play three brand new singles every hour on air, as well as the usual mix of music from across the decades. That's the Dennis Devlin Show on Lake District Radio, the best mix of music.
Well, that was, of course, Blanket by the Sea by the amazing Stuart Wolfenden and the Natives. And we are very lucky to have in Lake District Radio today the amazing Stuart Wolfenden and it gets better. We are joined by the talent, the man himself. This goes without saying, there are men out there who can do many things, but none the quality of Darren Rees-Lamb. Gentlemen, welcome to the Lake District Radio and welcome to Dennis Devlin Show.
Hey, Dennis.
Hiya, mate. How are you doing?
Yeah.
That's a very humbling introduction there. Thank you very much.
You are very welcome. It's great to have you here. Eventually, we got you here.
Oh, yeah.
Let's start by talking, firstly, Darren, I want to talk to you. I've been Stuart, I can talk to you shortly. I've talked to you before, so you could sit and wait a minute. No worries, man. Darren.
Yes, Dan.
Let's talk about Clay to start off with. Firstly, I want to go to Clay and the process behind that. Darren, it's amazing. Absolutely amazing. I applaud you.
I'm glad you like it. Well, it was like with the whole album, really. It's all about real stories, about real things. And it just came about where I was diddling on my guitar, as you do. And I tend to find a subject matter, and it's hard to explain, really. You just get all these things diddling about in your head. And then the idea of clay and the way as a... is it metaphorical comparisons where you look at the way clay is and then you look at that within the context of an emotional thing and then you tie it together. Then I tied in some personal stuff, which I'm not going to go into. And I just thought, yeah, that kind of worked really well. And then when I started to get the chorus together and the chord configuration, then it just kind of started to work. And then obviously when I came to see Stuart with it and he started to sing on it, it just started to grow from there, really. Obviously, the big thing, I have to say, the real big thing about the song is the string arrangement, because Steve, who produced the album, is a dear friend of mine. I've known Steve about 30 years. He came round to the house, and I've got a piano at home. I'm a rubbish piano player, by the way, but Steve's like a genius piano player. And I said, okay, this is the... I said, I want this string thing to happen at the beginning. I played, like, Metallica's One. Because we're going to do this acoustic at some point, me and Stuart, anyway, as like a live duo thing. So I had the basic strings melody, which is the main part of the intro. So I said, Steve, okay, so put that. So he did that on the piano in about 3 seconds. And then I said, do me a string arrangement. And I said, see what you come up with. And well, he came up with it. And then I said, how much for a string section? And so we went into that and it crippled us. And then I didn't tell Stuart about it because no. I was so giddy. You got to realize, me and Stuart, we're on the older side, but we get giddy very easy. And I said, come to the studio tonight, Stuart. I've got a surprise for you. And just as he turned up, they were actually halfway through the take. So he walked in the studio, and you know the glass windows, what you get in the studios, which separate the live room from the desk. And there's these four people there playing exactly what you can hear on the record. And so Stuart stood there, and he was like, after about a minute, he looked at him and he says, it's really upsetting this, mate. And he had to go out. It really got him. So I thought, well, it worked. So, yeah. Hallelujah. So that's how it kind of came about.
Yeah. I mean, what was it like for you, Stuart, to walk in and suddenly you've got an orchestra as well playing for you as well? What's that like?
Like he said, mate, as he described, he kept it from me. And yeah, right. I mean, it was beautiful. I was in tears, mate, to hear this. And then the realization that I had to sing to it, mate, was quite daunting, that song, mate, to be fair, because it was such because we, you know, Daz had come round to the house with it and we'd put it together kind of acoustically and stuff. So I didn't know where, and we've got great trust between ourselves, and Darren knew because they're his songs and he knew what he was going to do. I think he had, you know, a sense of the idea of what he was going to do in the studio, but. And he did try and describe sometimes to me, but he kind of like, I know how it's going to go, Stuart. But I had great faith and great trust and stuff, mate, especially with Steve involved and stuff. So it was really nice as well to kind of see these songs from the real bare bones to what they became. So, yeah, when I first heard that, mate, I was absolutely blown away. Yeah, it really took it to a different level. Yeah.
I think the hardest bit, Dennis, was the restraints, because when you're doing something as emotive as that, it was about like the space, because originally when Steve did the string arrangement, it was quite wall-to-wall strings, and when he played me the first arrangement, what they'd done, I said, it's brilliant, but I said, can we just ease it off at the beginning? So so when there's certain lines sung, and I think one of the lines Stuart says, it feels nothing, something like that, there had to be nothing there, and the build-up had to be really slow and gradual, and but I'd say luck or whatever, had lots of hard work. I think we captured it. There's nothing, the thing I'm most happy with, I'm sure everybody's the same, when you've put a lot of effort into something, when you look back in a year's time and you listen back to it, you don't hear anything where you think, oh, I've done that wrong, or I should have done that better, or that could have been better. There's, in fact, if I'm honest, I think there's a string line which lasts for like quarter of a bar, which I wanted in one of the songs. I can't remember where it is. That's how picky I'm being now. But that's the only thing I missed out. And I thought, I wish I could just put that there. But and it doesn't matter because it doesn't make it better. It's just me being obsessive. But I still listen to the songs now. Maybe every couple of months I'll have a listen to it. I can hear them as an outsider now, and I can just think, yeah, they really work. So I'm really pleased. You know, I can't say more than I'm just really pleased it works and people do connect with it, which is, as from an art point of view, that's what you want. You want people to grasp it and feel it. So that's kind of how it worked out.
Yeah, I mean, it's a cracking album. It's beautifully written and beautifully put together. And obviously, you are lucky to be working alongside the amazing Steve Buckley. And I don't know if people know him. Our listeners might not know, but he has worked with the likes of Paul Young, you know, Boy George, The Christians.
Did you know that he, you know, remember that a big charity hit with Naina Cherry, Cher, and who's that gorgeous mixed race girl from London who did that song about AIDS? I forget her name. Nina, what's she called? Anyway, he actually did he was actually asked to go to London and do all the vocal harmonies for that track. So he said, I'm sat by a piano and he's got Naina Cherry, Cher, Naina Cherry, and Chrissy, and they're all stood next to him.
Chrissy Hynde was on it as well.
And he was actually directing the harmonies on it. And I said, that must have been something. He goes, oh yeah. He said, you know, to work with three legends like that. So that's the level of, that's how good he is, you know. Mm. So to work with reprobates like us, it really is a joy, you know.
And obviously, he's currently using the studios of the amazingly talented Lisa Stanfield.
Indeed, yeah. Yeah. And you've met her, haven't you, Stuart?
I have a few times, yeah. Dennis is a bit of a fan. He's a bit of a fan of our Lisa.
We'll have to get him a cup, Stuart. Martin, the manager, gave us a couple of these merchandise cups, like teacups with a face in it. And I'll have to,
obviously. She was,
obviously, yeah.
Stanfield, fantastic. She could take me to Rochdale any day. I was quite happy to go.
I've not been looking to meet her, but I mean, everyone I know has met her says she's incredibly down to earth and ridiculously talented, which doesn't surprise me at all.
I first met her many years ago and stuff, and when I was in Corrie, and her mum was a huge, because I think she has done a guest appearance in Corrie, if I'm not mistaken. And I remember having a conversation in the cemetery pub, which me and Darren both know, it's a pub that we know very well on Bury Road in Rochdale there. And her family lived opposite it and she used to frequent it and stuff, as we all did, and musos and thing. And I remember one Christmas having a conversation with Lisa and her mum, and Lisa saying that all the things that she had done, her mum would have swapped if she could just have been in Corrie. And mum was like, oh, you know, if she could. And it was like, really? And I was like, all the people she's worked with, and all that. Yeah, but she's never been in Corrie. And it's like, oh my God, you know. And it's and now we've been in a studio, and I think she's been in Corrie herself. So kind of tables have turned. It's quite strange.
She's a real
Rochdale lass, isn't it? Yeah,
absolutely, absolutely. Now, obviously, Stuart, our guests will know who you are from Coronation Street and Hollyoaks, and obviously playing Herbie. But you've been mooching about the music scene for quite a long time, if you pardon the pun.
I certainly have been mooching about quite a long time, mate. Yeah. And in the music industry as well. a long time, mate. It's very similar to Darren. I mean, me and Darren go back, must be 30 years since we both used to see each other in different bands and stuff, and mutual friends and things. And, you know, I knew of Darren's songwriting all them years ago. A mate of mine was singing in some of his band, and another guitarist, Mick, was. So I knew of his songwriting capabilities, even though he was predominantly a drummer and stuff, you know. And when the opportunity came, I was looking for something to work with. I think Darren was in 2018. And we got together on my stag do and banded some ideas around. And then I think January, February it was. Was it Darren? Early 2019, we really kicked it off, didn't we?
Yeah, well, what I did is, Dennis, I'd said to her, I need to come and see you sing, because he's playing like a local place then where he lives in Littleborough. And I said, I need to hear your voice. I need to, you know, because I had a lot of ideas and you've got to imagine the voice lying on top of them. And so what I did like about Stuart's voice particularly, he's got an original voice and he's got a great low end timbre. He's got a really rich low end. And there's as much as there's a lot of people... I mean, when I used to write years before and with some other people, I was always looking at, like, I wanted people with massive ranges, and that has its place. But the most important thing for me is originality. Because, I mean, with all respect to, you know, you get some of these session singers who are, they're amazing, but they sound like a lot of other singers, which isn't a bad thing. They're still great. But if you want to do some original music, you want to try and everything as original as you can. And there's a, when I'd written Feelings Run Deep, I think that was the first one I'd actually pretty much finished before we actually sat and played together. And I remember I played it to my girlfriend and I said, I've finished this song and I've got it. And I think when me and Stuart first sat at his house, basically I went round the guitar, I said, okay, then this is the deal. I'm going to play all these ideas I've got. And if you don't like them, it's fine. We'll just have a catch up when I go home. And if you do, then we'll go from there. It was blunt like that. Mm. And so I made him sing the chorus of Feelings Run Deep. That's the first thing I did with him. And as soon as he sang, I just thought, that was just beautiful. That rich end he's got in his voice, I just thought that's going to work great. And all the songs consequently worked great as well, because I didn't know how the rest were going to go. I mean, a couple of them had not quite finished, and they just all worked really well. And so I'm just pleased how it turned out, you know, so happy days.
Yeah, I mean, the album Song from the Common Man is absolutely fantastic. And I just played Clay, which I thought was great. But you've released, of course, the single Blanket by the Sea. What was the process behind that, and how did we get to Blankets by the Sea?
Can I take this one, Stuart? Because
absolutely, it's your song, man. Yeah.
Well, no. What it was, once we'd actually got the songs ready and done the album, Stuart's impetuous, impulsive. He's like an understatement. he reminds me of my little sister used to be that impulsive. Do something for me, and she'd run off before she'd even told her what she's doing. And that's what Stuart's like, which is brilliant. It gives a great positive energy around things that you do. So he's like, let's get a band. And now, because I've been in a lot of bands over the past 20 years, and it's really difficult to get a band together. And so he basically beat me to the ground with it. He just kept, every time he brought it up, I says, come on, Stuart, let's do a duo thing first. Let's try the songs out and just take it easy. No, he wasn't having that. So, and then when he finally cornered me, what it was, Daz Gilly and Duffy, who are now the drummer and the lead guitarist in the band, they're like thick as thieves, them two. They've been like brothers. And they'd built a studio on the side of Duffy's house. And they live quite nearby, and they were up for it. They'd listened to the album, and they're like, yeah, we'd love to do this. So Stuart basically said, I've asked Duffy and Daz, and they want to do it, and we've got a place to practice. So basically all the boxes, all the negatives I'd walled Stuart in with, I couldn't have them anymore. So I just had to say, right, all right, then, well, let's have a go. And I thought, okay, let's see what happens. And it just fell together like, you know, great glue. And then we got Mick Bates on bass, who's I've known for about 30 years again. And it couldn't be better. It, in a way, it had to be like that, because I've become very cynical about the complexities of making things work with politics and all that. But with these guys, they're all, I'm not saying it because we're on a radio station, you couldn't meet a nicer set of guys. They're all dead straight. They're all really committed to what they do. And they're all just really good, honourable human beings, and they're great musicians, and they're a joy to work around. So when we get together, it's just first, I think we laugh for the first half an hour just talking nonsense, and then we get buckled in, and everybody really puts 100% into it, and it's moving really well at the minute. So I'm absolutely delighted. So that's how it came. Sorry, I'm missing the question. So I'm like Stuart, you see, I digress. So like you've got to see, we did a radio thing last week, didn't we, Stuart? Was it the
we did, mate? Radio
BBC
Manchester.
Radio? Yeah, BBC Radio Manchester for what's the guy called? That lovely man, Eamon O'Neill. Yeah. So he was supposed to be Mike Sweeney who did it. But Mike was away, so Eamon stood in for him. And they needed a recording and a video of what we've done, because at the end of it, we're just a local band at the bottom line. So we went in the studio and we recorded it live as a band. And we did it in one take, I think. We did one take, and then Steve said, just do another one. So we did it again, banged it out, and we did the other one in one take. And that was that. And then we recorded it, and off we went on the radio. So the newer version of it, it's just how it would sound by a band. So it's the essence is still there, but it would, when we play live, it's a case of it will be that good. It'll just have a slightly different texture to it, and a slightly, because you've got, rather than just me, because I played everything, you've got like four different personalities on it now, which makes it better. So I think it's going to be much better now when we do our first gig.
But the song came about, Daz, didn't it? Because you'll tell it, mate. The story. It was the relationship that you didn't want to have with. You'd seen other people have relationships, yeah, didn't you, with the children, yeah, and stuff. And
yeah, my daughter will be 21 this year, and I split up from my mother when she was 2. So I put a lot of emotional energy and time into making sure that she didn't grow up to be a resentful, unloved daughter, you know. And yeah, I've seen a lot of guys who they basically they take the foot off the pedal where they just think kids grow up themselves, and then the next minute they're saying, I can't talk to my daughter anymore. It literally happens overnight. I'm thinking, well, you've not been talking to her the last 5 years. You need to hold it in. And I've seen how people they get these like scraps of time to spend the kids at weekend, and it's particularly men with daughters because they covet them, and they're trying to relive the past with them, and they're trying to treat them because they've disconnected with them for so long. And then when they try to reconnect, they're trying to reconnect to the child, but she's not a girl anymore, she's a young woman, and her needs are different, and emotional needs are going to be greater. So that they're trying to, it's really a pathetic attempt to reestablish their parentness to, yeah, the child, but the kind of, you know, it doesn't work like that. And so yeah, Stuart cased it really well though. It's something I didn't want to happen to me. It was a fear. Yeah. It drove me to try to do the right thing. So it was a fear driven song, really. So
I mean, you look at the lyrics, for instance, you use the sofa when I've made your bed, I make you breakfast when you hold your head. And then, and even before that, when we talk about the ice cream van and walking the beach of Isle of Man, clear there's a personal connection there in that song and what you're saying.
Yeah, well, I've seen people I know who've they've got like teenage daughters and sons who are like 15, 16, and they're going out and getting drunk on the park and stuff, and I'm thinking, geez, how does that happen? I just can't comprehend that happening. I'm thinking, well, when your children are really small, you're like God to them, so you've got to set an example. And I'm not perfect by any stretch, and I say to my boys now, we were getting older, I swear a lot in my when I'm at work in that, but with them, I've got to show restraint, and because I've got to lead by example, and I'm nobody special, but I'm just trying my best. And so, and when I see people trying to buy the kid, spoil them with ice cream, it was their, I guess, dysfunctional way of showing their emotional connection to them, but it's got to be so much more than it's got to be real, and so, when you're letting them get away, when they're getting up late and they're not doing the things you want them to do, I just see that. I've always seen that as my worst nightmare, and I've seen people go through that. And I almost see a video of it, how it happens, and how disconcerting and worrisome it must be, to be in that position and not be able to do anything about it. So the song kind of conjured up a lot of things, a lot of my fears, really, things I'd seen, actually, not friends, but connections I've known go through this. And it kind of came about through that. And then obviously the song became a bit of a jazzy, rocky thing,
Yeah, I describe the album pretty much as a Swiss Army Knife kind of album.
great analogy. Yeah, I like Swiss Army Knives as well. The thick ones where you can't open, when you break your nail trying to get the bloody thing open.
Yeah. So much going on in it. It's a busy little album, I mean, I'm about to play Missionary Man. And one of the great lines I really like in Missionary Man, and I love listening to it, is you can drown yourself in comforts to hide away your fears. That's a terrific line, isn't it? That's beautiful. I'm guessing that's you, Darren.
Yeah, well, me and a friend of mine once, we was going to, in Bury, which is a town near the village where I come from, a friend of mine was going to what was then the local courts. So if you have a car fine, whatever, it was all paper then, and you'd actually have to go in, and you have to sort it out, the payment of the fine. And these buildings, they were really old. They were probably like 1870, because they were red brick, and they had the oak panelled walls. And while my friend has been served this, sorting this bureaucracy out, there's a guy sat on this typewriter typing, and I'm watching it, and he was motionless like a robot, and I'm serious, he was about 5 to 10, and he's typing away, and then this little bell went ding, like it was like that, is it Manflov's dog, is it Pavlov, which psychologist is, where the salivating dog, the bell went, and he just stopped, he didn't look up or anything, turned his little kettle on next to his typewriter, waited for it to boil, he put the tea bag in, and while it was waiting, he opened his drawer, pulled out this little supperware thing, brought out a little snack biscuit, peeled it open, very meticulous, and he sat there just gazing at the desk, didn't even look up or say hello or anything, and he ate it, and then the bell went again about 5 minutes later, and then he just carried on. And I said to my friend when I came out, I said, if I'm ever like that, just shoot me in the back of the head, and I'm just thinking, and so what's happening with, I mean, he might have been a really nice guy, but I'm just thinking, he's lost his soul there. And so from that, I just thought about people. I mean, there's a lot of other metaphors and analogies within the context of the lyrics. But people do this. They go through their life and they've kind of followed the system, which isn't wrong. And then they suddenly realise, like, I've got this completely wrong. But the seduction and the allure of consumerism and expectation and that, it just puts you down a path where you're completely lost. So you have to stay on it because you're so fearful of looking at yourself in the mirror at what you haven't got. You just carry on with it. And that's kind of, that's them lines are about that, really. You know, because I've, like Stuart, I've just done what I wanted and become an arrogant old buffoon in my old days. But, you know, I'm being true to myself. So what can I say, you know?
Yeah. Well, ladies and gentlemen, join us after that. I'm going to play Missionary Man. So sit back, relax. This is the Dennis Devlin Show on the Lake District Radio. And this is amazing. This is Stuart Wolfenden and the Natives and Missionary Man.
You're listening to the Dennis Devlin Show on Lake District Radio, playing all the best mix of music.
Lying on the top again, like a thousand times before, dreaming you're a lover, while she dreams that she's a whore. And everybody that's tasted her always wants to try again. Your little wife has got no life, and it's never gonna change. No, it's never gonna change.
Never gonna change.
No, it's never gonna change.
Never gonna change. Ooh, never gonna change.
You can drown yourself in comforts to hide away your fears. Dream about your future, wishing away the years. Where have they gone?
Where have they gone?
Where have they gone?
Well, some of the crowd are on the
You're page. Listening to the Dennis Devlin Show on Lake District Radio, playing all the best mix of music.
Welcome back. I hope you enjoyed that. Of course, I'm joined by the amazing Darren Rees-Lamerton and the greatest guy of all right now. I mean, I consider him a friend, and Stuart. Stuart, I'm going to come to you. It's great chatting to you again. I've already spoke to you on the old podcast. It's great having you. I'm glad you come on to Lake District Radio. I want to talk, obviously, and I know it's a difficult one, about the man I want to be. And obviously, the personal attachment to that. Because obviously, you've had a tough time yourself. It's not all been roses in the garden. And you've come through it. And this song definitely portrays that. It shows you going through the gears of life.
Yeah, it does exactly what it says on the tin, I think. It's that kind of song, really, I suppose, that the lyric. And it was a lyric that I had from an early age. It was a song that I'd put together when I was 15, 16, Ocean Full of Tears. And I didn't know, looking back at the time, because, I had a good childhood, really. I was happy and I was kind of outgoing and stuff. My parents were going through a divorce at that kind of time. And I was always into my music, and I'd go up, go up to my bedroom and kind of listen to music all the time, stuff like this. And I was in bits of bands and stuff. So I did start to I was never really musical. I was musical. I learned to play the piano as a kid, and apparently I was really, really good at it. I didn't read music, but I could play by ear. My sister carried it on, and she became a great pianist. But I then got into football and acting, so I kind of disappeared for a while. But in my teens, I got into bands and stuff, as you do, I suppose. And I started dabbling with, with some songs and stuff. And that was a song that I particularly put together. And when me and Darren got together, I did play it to him. I found this old tape. I found a tape, didn't I? And I remember saying to Darren, "I've got an idea, and I've got a tape, and I've not played another tape to him. I've got a tape with loads of ideas on, but I've never had the guts to play it to Darren. But this one I did, because it was kind of nearly a finished kind of song and idea and stuff. And I give it. And there's some great trust between me and Dad and stuff. Like I said about him being in the studio, mate, I knew Dad didn't really. I trusted him when he said, "Listen, I know where this song's going to go." And I wasn't, I didn't let my ego kick in by going, I want to try this bit. I want to do, can I put, I knew what I was good at, and Darren's good at what he do. And it's, you've got to let your ego drop sometimes and just let people get on with what they're good at, and kind of just. It's like the thing, if you haven't got anything good to say, don't say anything at all, isn't it? It's that kind of thing. So, and I knew with this song, and I sent it, I give it to him, played it to him. And I kind of just said, "Daz, I want you to do your magic with it." And he did, and he did change it. The chorus is pretty similar and stuff. And he changed it and changed the odd lyrics. And I wanted to bring something in there about my dad and stuff. I lost my dad a few years previous and stuff. So, and that's how that came about, mate. Yeah. And, I remember saying to him, I had ideas of the song when we went to the studio. I said, "Do you know the Unforgettable Fire, you two?" And I was like, "Yeah, I've got this kind of idea. Let's try it this way, Daz. Let's try it." And we were trying different ideas, weren't we, Daz? And then, again,
we did a sliding twist, remember?
And you said.
You said, "I don't offend you, Daz, but it sounds a bit like a guitar gone a bit bonkers or something." So I said, "Okay."
It was going a little bit Coldplay at one point, wasn't it, mate? And we was like, no, we don't want to do it. We're not going that way either. It's like, and then again, with Steve being such a beautiful and gentle pianist, really, we put a lot on the song, and then we stripped it right back. And then in the end, it just became really vocals and piano, didn't it?
Well, when you, what Stuart does, Dennis, when he played me the track originally, because he really wanted to do it, because at the time we was like, we had about six tracks finished. This is before the recording. And he said, "I really like to get this. It means a lot to me, this, Daz." And I said, "I promise you, we'll have a look." I said, just let me get all this stuff out of my head first, so my head's clear. And I promise I'll have a look at it. So I think it was the last track we worked on, wasn't it, Stuart?
It was, mate. Lockdown came in, didn't it? I think the first lockdown came in, and we had to wait then to go back in, yeah.
And then when he's going to be this Unforgettable Fire thing, I'm a big fan of the Edge and that kind of sounds. And I don't consider myself a great guitar player. I think I've got a good idea how things need to work. So I'm meddling about at home. And then I when I finally got the intro, he said, "That's beautiful. I like that." And I thought, right, because he needed to, because I felt it was his song and I needed to do right by him, you know, and it had to capture the emotion. And then when we actually come to do it in the studio, I said, let's do it on the piano then, Stuart. So let Steve just translate what I'm doing on the piano. So we did it acoustically, and Stuart said, "Yeah, that's great. That's because it had to be very naked and raw, because that's kind of what it is." And then I said, "Let Steve do his bit on it," because Stuart hadn't really seen. Well, he had seen what Steve can do, but I said, "Just let him meddle with it." And I think it took him about 2 hours, didn't it, Stuart? And he said, "Just give me a bit of time, guys." And he translated the whole guitar part onto the piano, and then I just sort of guided him through some of the spacings I wanted in it, again the restraint and that, and it, you know, and then we then I worked on the guitar solo part, wasn't there, and it had to be something again which was which listened to the song. It wasn't about, I don't like guitar solos, I'd say, look at me, I'm clever. I like, it's got to be part of the story. It's like if someone tells a story, interrupt, you've got to add value to it, otherwise be quiet, you know. So it's that kind of thing. And and Stuart, you did it one take, the Stuart. He sang that when he wanted, because I think because it was his own song, Dennis, because all the rest of it, he's trying to, you know, read my mind, which must have been really challenging for him. Well, I know it was, but because that one was more him.
When he mentioned, it was.
He did this take, and I looked at Steve, and I said, "There's nothing wrong with that, mate." And then I said, "Come and have a listen, Stuart." And I said, "If you want to do it again, but that's fine by me." So he did it again, and there's a nice touch at the end where he just, on the last line where he says, "It's just a day that you take my soul." He left a little gap before he sang it, and it was absolutely, it was great musical. It was just really musical how he did that. He just did it, and I said, "That's the one. That's beautiful." That, and then we left it at that. So really, it was a two take, and that was it done. And it was I actually said to him, "We're kind of, I feel at the beginning of the journey now, because at that song, I felt you really, for me, because I'd not, you know, I'd only had a couple of years with him before with the writing and that. I felt it, right, we're really getting somewhere now. I can really hear your voice, and we're getting somewhere." But obviously we've had to, Stuart then raced off and we've got a band together. So, but I mean, I've got enough songs for another album. So, you know, we'll let's see how next year goes. But there's no shortage of material now. So I'm pleased with that. You know, we've got some backup stuff as well.
I can imagine him running around in his little green and white dolly, running all over.
yeah. Mr. Enthusiast.
One of the things about the album that's kind of caught me attention, and I could be way off the mark here, is it seems like a musical journey, but it's a historical journey about you both. It's almost like this.
Yeah, that's bang on. Yeah, that's exactly what it is. Yeah,
about your friendship, various parts and various elements of it right the way through.
Yeah, well, I think the reason it works really well is because the kind of experience I've had in my life, Stuart's had in his life. There's, I'm not saying literally, but there's a lot of crossover. And the fact that we were able to talk very candidly and open about all that as we were doing this stuff, it enabled to expose ourselves more. And then when it comes to putting lyrical ideas in and putting melodies together and stuff, there was no there's no barriers. It was very uninhibited, which it had to be. Stuart's connection with the music, his understanding in a deep way, enabled him to do the vocal performances that he did. So, you know, I'm grateful of that, you know, and in tolerating my obsessive, relentless, anal, you know, pain in the backside, you know. But, you know, he's a professional, so he just applied his professionalism to the work in it. And, you know, we never crossed words once. We never, because I mean, I'm quite volatile and he's quite volatile. And, you know, we've actually, that's pretty good for two people to do what it's not, that's pretty impressive. We've never had a fallout. We've sometimes had to talk, say, "Listen, to be honest with this and that," but we've never fell out. And, I think that's because of our life experiences. We know that that's not the way forward. And we say things and we move with it, you know, so.
Yeah, and there's no right or wrong, is there? With it, I mean, it literally, and we're not frightened of saying something, because you know sometimes you just get, it's like the old thing with text messages, isn't it? You can text somebody, and it may not be how it was written, but you read it the way you know. It's that kind of thing, isn't it?
Yeah,
and you've got to yeah, be open and stuff. And the band are now, I mean, the band we mentioned before, but I was in a band in my 20s. I had a band called Pulp Culture, and Duffy was my drummer and Daz Gillen was my guitarist. So I did know them lads. I've known them lads a long time, and we kind of went different ways, but they were first. When I said to Daz, we've got to get a band together, I knew exactly who I wanted. And I knew they were going to, I knew it was going to turn. And it has, hasn't it, Daz? It's really, it's come together in such a short period of time. And we pulled some good gigs, some great gigs in this year. And we've not been together as a band for, it's not been 8 months, I don't think, has it?
We've only had half a dozen practices, really.
Yeah. We work really hard when we're together. And it's, but again, when people know each other without, it's like when you meet an old friend, isn't it, that you may have seen for 30 years and you're with them for 5 minutes and it seems like it was yesterday. It's that kind of thing, isn't it? You know, it's the band is very much, we've all just very quick. We had a rehearsal the other week, didn't we? And we all kind of went, oh, my, it just, something clicked, and it does. Something just clicks, and it's great.
I think what the case is, this, Dennis, is an old friend of mine, a Scottish chappy actually, he was a drummer, and he said to me a long time ago, he said, the most important thing for any band is compatibility. He said, if you haven't got that, then it's just never going to happen. And I always took that as a really big wise chip of wisdom, and he's bang on. And with these guys, like I said, there's nothing that's... I can see over, because I'm a cynic, I don't see anything ahead which is going to be a problem at all, apart from me and Stuart.
I could hear Stuart earlier on getting the kettle on, didn't you know if it was a brew? I could hear the cups going and everything. I mean, it must be great working with Stuart. You know, I can imagine my visions of Stuart. He's quite a fast-paced kind of guy. Although when I look at the album cover, look at some of the photos, he's got the flat cap on and all that. He comes across as quite a fast-paced guy.
Well, we had this conversation recently where I was trying to explain something to him without being offensive. Like I said, we have to talk things out properly. I said, the thing is, Stuart, you race ahead. And I said to him, I'm like that.
Belly wins.
I have got ADHD. It's blighted my life. But I've learned that because I hyper focus on the things I like doing, which is music and my job and my kids, things that I love. I'm pretty good with it. But I've hit a brick wall that many times. I've just got to a stage in my life. I can't hit a brick wall again. So now, as soon as I have a thought, I've got this massive break in my head that goes, it goes full on lock, and I won't move until I've considered it. And it's took me all my life to get that break. And Stuart's just trying to flick it off all the time. So just run with me. And I'm like, I can't, because I'll destroy it. If me and him go racing together, I dread to think. It'd be funny though, but I dread to think.
Does he rein you in, Stuart? Does he have to rein you in, Stuart?
I can't rein him in. This is what I'm saying. I just say. I'll just say, well, I don't agree with you, but just run with it, because he'll do it anyway.
I think that's how we have to do it. There's no right and wrong stuff. Up to now, mate, it's the kind of, even when I've had more faith in something and whatever, we've kind of. It's worked out. And if there came a time when it didn't, I'd be the first to say, I got that one wrong. Oh, that wasn't quite right. And I think we're strong enough as characters and stuff like that. I've done many things wrong in my life, mate, but I've never had a problem with saying sorry and that I got that wrong. Do you know what I mean? I've never had a problem with that. And sometimes it's not enough, but that's all you can do. But I know people the opposite who, you know, I've got people kind of close to me that never said sorry for things and stuff. And I can't work that way. I can't be that kind of person. But yeah, I do. I'm very. But also, I mean, some of the life experiences may have had, you know, I've had some ups and downs and stuff. And you get one life. And, I was on radio the other day and I said, and it's weird because last time I was in a band with Daz and Duffy, we were in our 20s. And then I wasn't sat there and I just said, yeah, well, Duffy's the youngest in the band. He's what we call the boy in the band, and he's 49. You know what I mean? It's like, we're not kids. We haven't got time for messing about and stuff. Yeah. We're doing this now. It's that, mate. We haven't got, and I am like that. And I've been like that since I was a kid, though. I mean, maybe that's where I've got and stuff, because I've not, I didn't go to a professional kind of drama school. I wasn't spoon-fed it. I've kind of fought for everything I've got. I've been lucky. I class myself as a lucky guy, but I've fought for things, mate, and I continue to fight. You know, I'm at the moment in time, I want there's something I want to do in the acting world. I'm fighting for it, and I'll always fight for stuff, mate. I will. And sometimes that causes me problems. You know, sometimes maybe things you kind of go for that really might not be good for you and stuff. Do you know what I mean? But it's you have to finish this road with kind of that kind of sense of I did everything I wanted to do, and I very much feel like that, mate. You know, and it's
I think that's where we're particularly that's where
we connect, don't we? Yeah.
Because we've both been through a lot of people, you know, sort of being very cynical towards what we're doing, but we've always ended up doing more than, you know, more than what we expected. So, it's a funny thing, Dennis, what I forget a lot, and I've said this now, I've never said it to you, but I forget he's actually done a lot because he's acting. I mean, when I first started to see Stuart about when he used to come to the pubs in Bury and that, we'd be chatting. He was in Corrie at the time, and you'd get people coming up to him asking for his autograph, and then we'd carry on the conversation. And it was just all a bit odd, because that's all it is. It's odd. And then because of what we're doing, this past couple has been so intense, I keep forgetting. So when he wants to run with something, I've got to remember, hold on a minute, he's got form, he's done a lot. And so when he gets a feeling for something, I've got to rein myself in something. Just, well, hold on a minute here. It's not like he's never done anything. Just let him run with it. Because although I can be very critical, but I'm also, I don't lose faith in people. I just, contextually, I'll just think, I'm not sure about that. But that's my issue. And that's why, so we'll just run with it anyway. You know, like he's just done a poster for a gig we're doing soon, and it's absolutely brilliant, you know. And because I've done a lot of that kind of work, I'm looking at the type setting and the gaps and all that kind of thing, because I'm about like that. And and when he finished that, I got back to him, it's brilliant, that's shoot, perfect. And it is. And I just, and the fool in my head saying, why did you think it wouldn't be, you know? But that's just my but you know, but I know when to shut up, you know. So there we are.
Sorry, mate. Go on.
I'll tell you, I'm just going to play right now. I'm going to play The Man I Want to Be. So,
lovely.
Ladies and gentlemen, this is a brilliant track. And this is, of course, from Stuart Wolf and the Natives. And this is The Man I Want to Be on the Dennis Devlin Show on Lake District Radio.
Join me for the best mix of music every Saturday on Lake District Radio, the Dennis Devlin Show, from 2 p.m. to 5 p.m.
We interview some of the best new up-and-coming talent across the country.
And we play three brand new singles every hour on air, as well as the usual mix of music from across the decades. That's the Dennis Devlin Show on Lake District Radio. The best mix of music.
Still
is the day that you take my soul. Stepping out on that open road. Is this the day, will you take my soul? Times I've cried, I'm changing my identity. Here's the man I found in me. Oceans are full of tears, still nobody hears. Just when I'm free of pain, one look crushes me again. Stepping out on that open road. Is this the day that you take my soul? Stepping out on that open road. Is this the day, will you take my soul? Is this the day, will you take my soul? Is this the day, will you take my
You're listening to the Dennis Devlin Show on Lake District Radio, playing all the best mix of music.
Welcome back. I hope you enjoyed that. We are, of course, privileged to be joined by the amazing Stuart Wolfenden and the equally amazing Darren Rees-Lamerton. Stuart, you were just about to get into that, and I just chopped you down there, mate, and you'll not be used to that. So I apologise, cutting you
not
off
at
there,
all,
my friend.
Mate.
Dennis, Stuart's wife Donna said, I don't know how them two are going to get anywhere. That's what she said. She was laughing when she said it with love, but it was like, I just don't know how you two are going to do anything.
Yeah, I think your missus said the same, Daz. I think they said
everyone,
how the hell
did it.
After about 2 weeks of us being together, them early days, putting the songs together, I think they both said, like, they're not going to get anything done, these two. They just keep either interrupting. They go at 50 mile an hour interrupting each other and get all these ideas are bouncing and stuff. I forgot what I was going to say, but it was somewhat like that. It was something to do with that. But, it's gone. It's gone, mate. But it wasn't that good, mate. It was just on that same thing. Whereas,
it was about the posters, Stuart. I talked about...
Yeah, we were just talking about the artwork and that, and obviously...
And I let you run with it.
Yeah.
You know, it's gone, hasn't it? It's gone.
It's gone, mate. It's gone. It's gone. It's gone. We do. I kind of, yeah, he does let me go. And I do with him as well. It's kind of, we do, we're very, oh yeah, that's what I'm going to say. We're very competitive and we're very, we're very control. We're both very controlling, aren't we, Daz? We both like,
passionate.
Passionate, yeah. But
we don't back down very well.
Yeah, and it's hard to let go of when you're passionate about something. It's you know. But we've kind of, I think we're certainly better than we was even a couple of years ago. We've got to the stage where, like you just said, I trust if he says he's going to go and get something or do something, or I've got an idea of, like, we've got some live gigs coming up, and he came. He says we're going to do an intro and stuff like that, and it's like, yeah. And Daz has just come up with something, and it's, you know, even though there's five of us in the band, there's not five egos going, oh, I've got this idea. Let's have a listen, let's do it. And it was perfect, and we've just put it together, haven't we, Daz? And we give each other space as well, which is good. And we've done this with rehearsals, haven't we? Because like I said before, we're in our 50s and we've got families and stuff like this, and this is very, very important to us. And at the moment we kind of rehearse on Sundays, don't we? We both like giddy kids when we, like, the day before, like, can't wait for rehearsals tomorrow, can't wait for rehearsals. We really look forward to it. We've got very full lives, all of us, you know, every single one of the members of the band, we've got very full lives and we've got responsibilities and stuff like that. And it is the be all and end all. But it's like with my acting profession now, mate. I've got mates who are in London who are constantly kind of that networking of having to be here at such a time, having to be at such a party, having to do this, having all that. And I'm not interested in any of that kind of stuff. Do you know what I mean? I'm passionate. I'm passionate about it. I work hard at what we're doing and stuff. But when you throw it out there, I've got a great belief in if it's going to work and it's meant to be, it's meant to be. You know what I mean?
We've had a mutual agreement on that, haven't we, Stu?
Don't sit back. I mean, I've sorted these gigs out night and day. I'm pushing where I can push and where I know people, but there's a lot of it that, you know, we don't know what's going to happen. We don't know who's going to play the song. We don't know who's going to love the song. We can't foot it. We're quite happy. It's quite in my teens, like many actors and stuff, Dennis, I used to that constant drive of my next job. And I remember when I was younger, I used to hate kind of weekends, because it was like I wanted the week. Oh, I can't wait for Monday because this could be a job opportunity. There could be, and you know, we're just learning to let go of things and just live your life and just things come that are meant to be. Do you know what I mean?
I do. Yeah. I mean, it makes perfect sense. And obviously, you're much more mature, a man. You've got a family and stuff like that.
He's not that much mature. So.
he's just got a family and he's older.
I've just gone grey, that's it, mate. Yeah, there's not much difference, mate, to be fair.
Flat caps and trench coats, eh?
I look mature, that's all it is. It's the looks, don't be fooled by the look, mate.
It's interesting what Stuart said there, Dennis, in that when Duffy and Daz and Mike, the three guys who were playing with the band, hooked up with us, I made a point of saying to them all, you know, I appreciate, they've all got great partners. They've got, you know, they've got really good lives. They've got nice houses, nice, they've gone beautiful. They've got really good lives and they do not need to do this. And the fact that they're taking time out of that lovely life to be part of this because they believe in it with us, that's not something that, and I'm not just saying that because it's, you know, good radio. I don't take that lightly. You know, and I said to them all, as much as I wrote pretty much everything and I played most of the things on it, that I want it to sound better than that. And I said, given the personalities in the band, which are very strong, funny, intelligent people, it can't not sound better with their personalities, as long as I don't try to control everything, which I don't. You know, we have to stick to the hymn sheet. You know, we've got to keep the essence of everything. But I want it to sound like them playing it, not me. And as it's starting to sound now, it seems to be working that way, which comes back to the compatibility bit. So it just seemed dead easy. It's never been that easy ever. And I've been in a lot of bands and I've done a lot of stuff, but this has been the easiest thing I've ever done and the most rewarding because it's ours, you know. yeah, I'm just really enjoying it at the minute.
And that's where the name came in, Dennis. I mean, we toyed around with some different ideas, and I put that one to the table, the Restless Natives, and, you know, we've kind of run with it and stuff. But I very much need it had to be, this is the next journey kind of thing from the album. It is the album stuff. But like Daz said, there's a different sound to the live performance than the album, isn't it, Daz? And it's very much I'll be perfectly honest, I wasn't very comfortable going out as Stuart Wolfenden with everybody. I felt like there's five of us here. I did want a band name. That's
your personality. You're the camaraderie in that, which I get. I mean, I love that as well. And it's my cynicism that stopped that in the first place. But it's great as it is now. And it's just everything's gelled. But I mean, Steve, Dennis, when we actually did Blanket by the Scene, we did the Stereophonics cover, that local band and photograph. Well, literally one take. It went really easy. And he actually sent us a text on a sort of a band WhatsApp group thing, and he just said, that was a great session, guys. You've got a great band going there. And, you know, he's very complimentary musically. Now, Steve's my musical hero of all time. You know, he just happens to be my friend. So for him to say that meant the world to me. So that means it, right? Because if you can't do it in the studio, then you need to have a rethink about your ability, you know?
Absolutely. Yeah, it's clear. It comes across. I mean, when you listen to the music, you know, I listen to a lot of music. I hear and I talk to a lot of bands, and sometimes you get that there's a camaraderie, and it helps, you know, and it's clear. Yeah. You can feel it, and it comes across in the music, because obviously if you're working together and you know each other really well, your dead influences will be part of the songs as well.
Yeah,
and
absolutely.
And you can hear it. It comes across beautifully. And I want to talk about the album cover. Absolutely beautiful. It's a great album cover. You know, I'm looking at it right now. I love the photography. Who does all that for you?
The picture, I mean, it's there's a picture. The picture is referenced to, obviously, me, Herbie, Dead Man's Shoes. It's kind of, we wanted something where people are going to, if not know the name Stuart Wolfenden, they may recognise the face. So it is that. But we got, Craig Hicks, a very talented artist, tattoo artist in Manchester, and he'd done a painting of me, and I'd seen it on the internet. I mean, it just looks, when I first saw it, I thought it was a photograph, it's not a photograph, it's a piece of art. He's done it himself. So I got in touch with him and I said, would you mind? And it was Daz came up with a song title, didn't you, mate? You came up with a title. But we had the idea of using my face and stuff because people do know me, you know, from the acting and stuff. But
can I interject this, Joe?
Yeah, of course you can, mate. Yeah.
It's important, this. I wanted because of the way we are and the lessons we've learned in life, I wanted the album, it's not an ego thing. And I want the album to be sort of what it says in the tin. And me and Stuart just comment, we're from working class backgrounds, regular guys, we've done what we've done in life. So the songs from Common Man, that's Stuart, in the most respectful way, is just a regular guy like us, although he's done some amazing stuff. And it's stories from a common man. So that folk influence kind of, that, you know, when you read all the lyrics without knowing the music, the stories in there, and there's things of, I'd like to think, with depth in there. And so you see the face, you see the name, and that's what it is. It's songs from a common man, and I wanted it to be dead simple, and that's what it is, and just very honest. That was the main thing. It had to be very, very honest. And so Stuart agreed with that, and that picture, though, is incredible. So I'll let you carry on now, Stuart, sorry.
That's it. No, you've said it. Oh, but that's it. Yeah, but it is. And we do. We thanked him on the album, I think, haven't we? We've got it, Craig. Oh, yeah. And I'm actually going to, because I've got tattoos myself. I love my tattoos, and he's going to do, when I get round to it, he's going to do some artwork on me old body there. But Craig Hicks, a fantastic guy in Manchester, and he gave us permission. Yeah, he just said, yeah, by all means, guys. Yeah, and he'd done the artwork, so we took that from there.
And no, go on. Sorry, Dan.
Well, I mean, when I look at it, you know, there's almost, it reminds me of, it sounds daft, this. It's like a statuesque. It's almost like something I'd see in an old-fashioned statue picture, you know. It's so beautifully done. And the album name is very, very clever, you know. And it takes nothing away. It tells exactly what it says in the tin. We're talking about a guy who's a normal guy, both of you normal folk, working class guys that have grew up, and you've not been fed it on a spoon. You've had to work and graft, everything has been ups and downs, and this album, this cover says that, you know, it's a brick. It's basically a brick, you know.
Yeah.
A time of living in strange building materials. There's nothing better than a brick.
No, absolutely, yeah.
A brick is a working man's building material, and that's what this is.
Yeah,
pardon my garbage puns.
No, I get it. I get your Scottishness as you bob on there.
Oh, no. People hold different use of a brick.
You know what?
Tell me where your dad's from.
Well, I told you, yeah. My dad's from Kilmarnock, yeah. So my dad's from Scottish. Yeah, he's a Kelly man. Yeah, well, my dad, no one can understand my dad now. I used to have some South African friends who lived over here, and when they used to go to see my dad, they'd come out, and one of them, and my mate Spiro, he could speak six languages. He could speak like Italian, English, Corsa, Zulu, and he says, "I can't understand a word your dad's saying." "Yes, Mr. Lamberton." "Hi, Spiro, come on, son, sit down. Hi, you want a drink, son?" And he'd be, whoa, I don't know what he's saying. Yeah, it's great. Yeah. In fact, when I played the Cat House in Glasgow a couple of times with a couple of bands I've been in, and whenever I've gone to Scotland with the bands, I have to be the translator, because as soon as we hit Glasgow, the guys just say, you ask him, Daz, because I don't know what he's saying. You know, before the lockdown, I played at the Albany up in Greenock, and the sound guy, I forget his name now, but he's a Scottish guy, and our guitarist, this other band I'm playing, Ian, he said to me, "Will you speak to him, Dan?" I said, I'm embarrassed, I can't understand what word he's saying. So I honestly have to translate, yeah. Because if you're just regular English from the north or whatever, it's like the Geordies and that. Unless you know the accent well, you're like, "Whoa, slow down, I don't know what you're saying." It's just, which is great. I love that about this country. We have some really strong dialects in Liverpool and Birmingham. And the colours, I love accents, you know, so.
Mm.
Absolutely. Well, look, guys, I'm really enjoying this. But this is the moment where I give you guys the chance to thank those. Because sometimes you get a lot of people don't get thanked. You know, there's those in the background that don't get the that do the work. This is your chance to thank
you. Yeah. Right. Stuart, do you want to go first?
I'm not thanking nobody, mate.
Yeah, did it all myself, yeah.
I did it all myself.
Listen, Stuart, just...
I'm only kidding.
I know, mate. Just get back in your little green and white dolly, mate.
Yeah. No, that's a hell of a question to end.
My family, because I wouldn't be where I am without my family. You know, mum and dad, my brother, my sisters, they've molded me to the person I am. My three beautiful kids, my beautiful girlfriend, my music clip, one of my best help is my friend Mike Gray, lives in London. He's in a British rock band called Skin and a few other big rock bands. And over my time with him, he taught me a lot about how things can work out in the music industry, good and bad, and the politics and the economics and the whole that side of it. And so he opened my eyes to a lot of things where I didn't know how it worked at the high end of the spectrum. So I've got Mike to thank a lot for. He doesn't realise that. He just, because he's a good friend, he just unconditionally gave me a huge amount of his experience. So I'm very grateful to him.
Yeah, absolutely, mate.
Brilliant. Absolutely brilliant.
Very similar, mate. I'll just say, my wife and my kids, mate. And this is no dramatic kind of dramatic rubbish, mate. I mean, they've saved my life these last 10 years, mate. I was certainly heading down a different kind of path, mate. And until my beautiful wife came along and kids and stuff. And you know, I'm an older dad and things, so it's they are everything, mate, and my family and my dad and stuff and that. And I'm going to say live on air that Darren, mate, because Darren came to me with these songs, mate, and it was just at the right time. And you know, I wanted to do something, and I did put it out there that I wanted to work with a guitarist and stuff. But this last couple of years, I've got, honestly, Daz, it's been, and even now with the lads in the band, it's been, I take it for granted. You know, we're so busy, kind of like at the moment, trying to pull gigs in and stuff like this, and just listening to this interview, and I'm not being all fluffy and full of you know, sentiment. You know, I'm trying to stop myself from swearing, Dennis. That's what it is. I'm so used to articulating myself with swear words, mate. I know what I mean when I swear, but I'm not going to swear. But I'm saying, even just sitting back now and listening to this, we've just been chatting for an hour, mate. I forget myself what this journey has been, and we're so lucky we're going into Lisa's place. We're so lucky having Stephen. We're so lucky with the lads in the band. It's been an absolute joy and pleasure, mate. This journey so far.
We've fed each other rather well, haven't we?
Absolutely, mate. Yeah, and we do take stuff for granted. We get so busy at the moment. Like I said, I've been busy pulling, trying to get gigs and sets, and you get so into the that kind of work, you forget that, you know, you do the work side of it, but we forget that actually what we have pulled in together, mate. And you know, I'd like to thank Darren. I'll thank you for that, mate. Cheers, Darren.
Yeah, darling, just the band Skin.
Well done, man.
I've heard of a band called Skin, but I don't know if they've done the album Experience Electric.
I've toured with I've been crew for Skin. I've supported them on two British tours, the two separate bands. I did a standing gig at the Download Festival when the drummer was in LA, couldn't get over to do it. Then I toured with one of his bands a few years ago, Red, White and Blues. Him supported.
Is that Dickie?
I met Skin when Dead Man's Shoes came out at the Independent. I got talking to her and Bob Hoskins at the Independent.
Stuart, you're talking about the singer from Skunk and Nancy now. We're on rock band Skin. It's all right.
Oh, sorry. All right. I thought he was on about,
So, yeah, we supported like Steel Panther, Lynyrd Skynyrd, White Snake, Chicken
Little
Pope,
Angels,
Choir Boys. Yeah, they support Little Angels on their tour. I mean, one night we went out to his club and they were playing one of his songs. It was in the top 10. The album's in the top 20. They were a fearsome band when they were going. I would put them next to, they could hold their own with any band in the world as a rock band. And what they were doing, they were on stage, they were a fearsome force. No question. Absolutely. World class, you know.
I think I saw them with Little Angels in Bradford in the Queen's Hall. I think they were supporting them then. I think they were.
Well, that's a long time ago.
Yeah, I think I went back to 1993, maybe 94, something like that.
Yeah, I think that was when they were still on the way up there, because the Little Angels were massive then, weren't they?
Yeah, Bruce Dickens in the corner. Obviously, they were going to release Spitfire, weren't they? Little Angels were, but they changed it for some political reason. Yeah, I mean, I was a massive Little Angels fan. There you go, you see. Right, so you said that, I thought I recognised that. So
Matt Richardson played with Little Angels, didn't he? Who then played for Skunk and Nancy.
We could talk all night.
I keep stories, so I'll shut up. Sorry, Dennis.
Guys, it's been absolutely brilliant having the studio today. You know, I feel quite blessed, you know, and I've been waiting to chat to you, Darren, because I mean, I won't lie, Stuart does not stop talking about you. The praise for the guy for you is unbelievable. You know, and rightly so, and it's vice versa. It clearly shows you're very good friends. You've got a great band. You've got a fantastic album. I predict big things for you guys. Of course, I'll get to see you guys at some point. Definitely.
Oh,
I
look forward to it. Absolutely.
Oh, you're on the guest list for any of them dates, mate. Whatever you fancy, pal.
Brilliant. Do you know what? That just makes my day. Well, look, guys, I would like you to introduce your current single, and I shall play that for you. And I want to thank you for taking your time out and coming on Late District Radio and taking the time to come on the Dennis Devlin Show.
Cheers, mate. No, you go for it, mate. You go for it. No, after you, sir. You wrote, is it Blanket by the Sea?
It is, yes.
Right. Okay, well, this is a song we did, what is it, 2 years ago now, Stuart?
It is, yeah.
It's called Blanket by the Sea. I think it's a beautiful song. I hope you enjoy it.
Ladies and gentlemen, this is the Dennis Devlin Show. You're listening to Late District Radio, and this is the amazing Stuart Wolfden and the Natives and the latest single from the amazing album. And I have to tell you to get it now. It's out right now. It's called Songs from a Common Man. I'll post it on so you can see it and where you can get it. And this is beautiful. This is Blanket by the Sea.
You're listening to the Dennis Devlin Show on Late District Radio, playing all the best mix of music.
watch you crash and burn. I'll brave the silence and await my turn. For the moment I can set you free. Give to you a memory of how it used to be. Any flavor from the ice cream van, walking beaches in the Isle of Man. We'll leave our footprints in the sand and look out to the sea. Park the car inside the parking lot. Make a journey to your favorite spot. Just you and me, like it used to be. Locked hand in hand on a blanket, sat beside the sea. You use a sofa when bed. I make you breakfast and you hold your head. Watch the TV and I watch you stare. Look for comfort but there's nothing there. Flavor from the ice cream van, walking beaches in the Isle of Man. We'll leave our footprints in the sand and look out to the sea. Park the car inside the parking lot. Make a journey to your favorite spot. Just you and me, like it used to be. Locked hand in hand on a blanket, sat beside the sea. Help me understand, baby, what you're looking for. Once upon a time, I was all you ever needed. Just a chance of holding hands. Let me know I'm still the man to keep you safe and warm. Sat beside the sea.
You're listening to the Dennis Devlin Show on Lake District Radio, playing all the best mix of music.